Reading from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for your word. Your word brings life to us. Your word brings counsel to us. Your word shows us who you are and who we are, and shows us how we are to live. And so as we look at your word together now, would you speak to us by your Spirit? Teach us new things, we pray. Give us hearts that are tender and ready to receive what you have to say to us this morning. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to start this morning, and please do keep your Bibles open if you've got them in front of you, at Ephesians chapter 1, the beginning of Ephesians. But I'd like to start this morning with thinking about a sandwich, a big, big sandwich. Just have a look on the screen, or if it helps, close your eyes and just imagine a sandwich that meant something to you, maybe once in your life. You know, when you go out to eat and you're presented with a tall, big sandwich and you think, how on earth am I going to approach that? I cannot get my teeth around that. Maybe it's a burger. Maybe it's one of those huge Scooby-Doo sandwiches or burgers you get at certain places. Can you picture it? I don't want to make you prematurely hungry for lunch, by the way. I do apologize. We don't want that to happen today. But as I looked at this passage this last week or so, I felt that this passage was a little bit like a huge sandwich that I didn't quite know how to get my teeth around. There's a lot of words in this passage, aren't there? There's a lot to take in. So we're going to attempt to look at this passage together. We're going to say, Lord, what do you want to say to us through this passage? And I hope we'll find some really good things in this passage that the Lord wants to say to us this morning. But don't lose sight of the size of the sandwich. Don't lose sight of the size, the density of this passage of Scripture. Because I think it speaks of the enormity of who God is. I think it speaks of the vastness of how God wants to bless us. Paul writes this letter. It's written to the church in Ephesus, but it was read by other churches as well. And Paul wrote this letter to expand their vision, their understanding. He wants to say to them, there's so much more. There's so much more to grasp hold of. There's so much more to discover of who God is, of what he's done, of what he's like, of what he has for you. There is so much more. He even prays in chapter 3, verse 18, that God's people would have power to grasp. I love the picture of grasping the love of Jesus, grasping hold of the love of Jesus, to grasp that love which surpasses knowledge, that is beyond our knowing. It's so much greater, so much more. So this sandwich is a big sandwich. Do you get the picture this morning? It's a big, dense passage, and we're going to dive in. And I think, God, that in these early opening verses for this letter, Paul is actually laying down some really basic, fundamental truths about the Christian faith. So he wants the church to know who God is, and who we are as we follow Christ, as we live in Christ. And I believe this morning, as we look at this passage, and as we gather in worship, as we gather around the table later, I believe God wants to expand our vision of who God is, our understanding of who he is and who we are in him. So we begin with verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's quite a dense verse to start with, isn't it? A lot of words in there. But note, Paul begins by praising God. Praise be to God. He begins with praise and worship. I love seeing the church gathered in sung worship, especially just gathering to adore God, to praise him and remember who he is. And as we do that, our vision of God is enlarged. We just get glimpses of how much better he is than we've yet discovered, than we've yet experienced and known. And when we worship, we also declare what he's done. We tell stories, we're remembering what he has done. And that's why we sing of the gospel again and again and again. It's the best song of all to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. We worship to enlarge our vision, and we worship to tell of what God has done. Paul writes that the Father has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. He's referring to a heavenly realm, a spiritual reality that is unseen. He mentions it 5 times in this letter. He says in other places, Christ is seated in that heavenly realm. That's in verse 20 of chapter 1. He says, God has raised us up and seated us with Christ in the heavenly realm. He says the manifold wisdom of God has been made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. That's chapter 3, verse 10. And the last chapter of the letter, he says our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against rulers and authorities, spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. The heavenly realm is this place that is unseen, where the ultimate purposes of God are being worked out, where a battle is taking place, where there's opposition to God, and where Jesus Christ is seated in victory. Paul says, God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Those two words, in Christ, are really key for this passage. What does it mean to be in Christ? It features in every verse, bar one, of our reading this morning, that sense of being in Christ or something happening through Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? Those who heard or read this letter or heard this letter read out would have understood what it means to be in Christ when they understood that Jesus was their king. Because in Jewish thinking, the king represented the people. And what the king achieved, the people achieved. So if the king was in battle and was victorious, then so the people were victorious. They got to join in with the victory, sharing in the king's victory. And it's the same. If Jesus is your king, in him, we get to share in his victory. And we get to share in his blessings. That's what Paul is saying here. So as Jesus defeated evil, died to sin, and rose to new life, so we get to take part in that, defeating all that would oppose God, those evil forces. Dying to sin and being raised to new life. And those of you with keen ears will recognize those are words that we use during a baptism service. Because during baptism, we get to take part in what Jesus has done for us. We get to share in Christ's blessings, his heavenly blessings, and we get to share in them while we're stood here on earth. Heavenly blessings here on earth. Have a look at verse 1 of this letter. Paul writes to a people who live in two places. To God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And the same is true of you and I if we're in Christ. God's holy people here in Withall, in Hollywood. Insert the name of the place that you're from if you're not from Withall and Hollywood. The faithful in Christ Jesus. We get to stand in two places. And this is heaven and earth coming together, meeting in the person of Jesus. As we live with the blessings of heaven, the ways of heaven, the power of heaven, the hope of heaven, while we stand on this earth, heaven coming to earth in the person of Jesus. As I say, this passage is bursting with what it means to be in Christ. I wonder if you're in Christ. I wonder if you know what it is to be in Christ, to live in Him and have Him live in you. We'd love to chat with you about that after the service. If you're not sure about that and you'd like to find out more, please do grab one of us or speak to somebody that you know and trust here. We'd love to chat and pray with you about that. Well, that's verse 3 talked about. Should we head into verse 4? Could be a long morning. Verse 4, Paul goes on, and he goes on through the subsequent verses to unpack just what these blessings are that God promises to us if we're in Christ. Verse 4, God chose us. God chose us in Him. It's a difficult thing to get our heads around how God chooses and why God chooses. I think all we can say this morning is that when God chooses, it's an expression of His love and an expression of His grace, His undeserved love. If you are in Christ this morning, then in love, God has called you. God has set you apart for His purposes. And note in verse 4, just when God chose you. Was it after you responded to that call to surrender your life to Jesus and live as a Christian, obedient to Him? It was before then. Was it after you'd responded to a request to help on the coffee rotor or the welcome rotor or get more involved in church life? It's before then. Was it after you'd done something impressive? It's way before then. It was before the creation of the world that He chose us. Way before we could do anything to impress God. He chooses us in His grace, in His love, because it's His purpose and His will. He chooses us with love that we do not deserve and we cannot earn. This reminds us we can't earn a place with God. We can't make it happen. So to know God and to walk with Him, to enjoy friendship and fellowship with God, it's a free gift that only He can offer you. His grace, His love. It's a great relief that He chooses us, isn't it? His choosing of you and I in love is not dependent on our performance. It's an expression of His grace and His love. Jesus says to His disciples as He's preparing them for... Jesus says to His disciples as He's preparing them for His death, He says, "You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." In His love, God chose you that you may be blessed with those heavenly blessings, those spiritual blessings, but not just for your own benefit, but that you may be a blessing to others. That's why Jesus says, "I chose you and appointed you that you may bear fruit that will last." We receive God's blessing, and then we go and we are a blessing. We're agents of God's heavenly blessings, heaven coming to earth. We're agents of God's heavenly blessings here on earth. Looking into verse 4 again, that's why God chose us to be holy. We're to be different to those who are around us in the world. We're to live a different way, to tell a different story, to point to a better way, to point to heaven's way. And we can only do this by being in Christ. Paul says we're chosen to be holy and we're chosen to be blameless, acceptable in the sight of God. How do we do that? It's those two words again. In Christ. By being in Christ. So God doesn't choose us because he looks down and says, you look holy and blameless, I'll choose you. It's the other way around. It's not a requirement of being chosen. Being holy and blameless is what we become and what we are becoming when we're chosen. It's a consequence of God choosing us, that we become people who are holy and blameless. Verse 5 says that God predestined us for adoption into sonship. He has chosen to adopt us into his family as daughters and sons. And the word that's used for sonship can be applied to being daughters as well as sons. He had chose to adopt us into his family. And the people who heard this letter would have understood that Roman law meant that when a child was adopted, they would enjoy the same rights as a naturally born child. We're adopted into God's family as though we always belonged there. As though we always belonged there. And that's why we can receive every spiritual blessing in Christ. We get to receive his blessings, his privilege. We get to come before Almighty God, get an audience with God the Father and call him Abba, Father, Daddy. We find ourselves in a position that we couldn't have achieved on our own because we're in Christ, because it's about God's grace. And Paul goes on to speak about God's grace in verse 6. He talks of God's glorious grace freely given to us. What does this grace, this undeserved love, look like? And there are two words that Paul uses that stand out. Redemption and forgiveness. Two things we cannot do on our own. Redemption is about being rescued. It's about being set free when you are powerless to do anything about your situation. And again, this would have made sense to those who read this letter and heard this letter. They would have seen slaves redeemed, freed from their masters by the payment of a ransom to redeem them for their redemption, set free from their masters. And you and I, we're freed we're freed from sin being a master over us, over our lives. We're freed from that by the payment of Jesus' blood on the cross. His blood becomes the ransom payment that sets us free from being slaves to sin. We're redeemed and we're forgiven. What a feeling it is to be forgiven. Anyone know what it feels like to be forgiven? Too many people, I think, these days walk around with that sense of guilt, not knowing forgiveness. What a weight, what a heaviness. But to know forgiveness and to know God's forgiveness, what a feeling of lightness, what a feeling of relief, what a feeling of new life. And the truth is, we've all sinned and we've all fallen short. We all need forgiveness. As Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that came by Jesus. We stand guilty as charged before God. We've fallen short. We don't deserve to be anywhere near him. But, Paul says in verse 8, God has lavished his grace upon us. He's lavished his grace upon you. Redeemed and forgiven freely, even though we don't deserve it, by his grace that he lavishes upon us. So why does God bless us in his love, in his grace? Why has he chosen us? What's it for? Where's it going? Where's this leading? Paul says in verse 9 that God is making his will and his good pleasure known to us. And in verse 10, he starts to unfold that. He says that you and I, along with all things, are to find our ultimate purpose and meaning in Christ. That's verse 10. And the term that Paul uses is more than simply being under Jesus as a leader. It's about Jesus being the one in whom things make sense, where things add up. God's will and pleasure is that we would find our meaning and our purpose in Christ. That's where things will truly make sense. And as we do this, as we come before Christ as individuals and find this peace and this forgiveness, we find that we're part of his family, adopted into his family, and we meet as church, and we become a foretaste, a prototype of what God has planned to do ultimately one day. Verse 10, when the times reach their fulfillment, he will bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And we are a foretaste of this. And we play a part in God revealing this to the world. It's as though Jesus is standing with his arms outstretched, touching heaven and touching earth to bring unity to all things under him. That there will be a day when the things that that don't make sense now will make sense. There'll be a day when this world will no longer look broken and dysfunctional. There'll be a day when all things will find their proper place, proper meaning and purpose in Christ. Those two words again, in Christ. And as we live here in Wivel and Hollywood, as you live in the place that you're from, we are to be a sign of this day, a sign of hope pointing to this bright future in him. We're to be glimpses of heaven coming down to earth. And we're to pray for those glimpses more and more, aren't we? As I said at the beginning, I think when Paul wrote this letter, he wanted the church to know God better, to grasp more fully the love of Jesus, and to know more fully who they are in Christ, to know what it is that God's given to them, to know what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to be in Christ, and to know that if you are in Christ, then you are blessed with heavenly blessing, heaven here on earth. You are chosen to be holy, blameless, adopted into his family, redeemed and forgiven by his grace. And you are to be a foretaste, together with his family, a foretaste of a day when all things in heaven and on the earth will find their ultimate meaning and purpose in Christ. Friends, if we are in Christ, then this is what God has blessed us with. This and so much more. So much more, immeasurably more. And as we have been blessed, so we are to be a blessing to others, pointing to that future hope. It's quite a sandwich, isn't it? It's quite a sandwich. I hope that I haven't made you hungry for lunch too early today. But I do hope that our time, just looking at these words from Ephesians, as we gather in worship, as we gather around the table in a few moments, I hope our time together is making you hungry for more of God, for more of heaven coming to earth. Shall we just pray? Father, we do worship you because we've seen glimpses of how great you are, how wonderful you are, how loving you are, and we long to see more. We thank you that you choose us in your love. And I pray for us as we gather here to respond to that calling, whether it's something we've been responding to daily for many years, or today is the first day to respond to that call to receive forgiveness and redemption and to find our ultimate purpose and meaning in you. Father, there's so much more of you for us to know. Help us to know you better, I pray. May we see glimpses of heaven coming to earth. And I dare pray that you'd use us, Lord, to show those glimpses of heaven coming to earth. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.